Hello and welcome back to another episode of It's Risky Business. A show about pursuing your passion, going after the things that you want to do in life, and doing it with no fear. Maybe with a little bit of fear, but you do it anyway, and we are beyond excited. I'm actually oozing with excitement. Oh, I don't know if you can see it,
but I'm bubbling, oozing,
because we have Susie Garcia here, badass. I can give a whole synopsis of all the things that you have done, but this is what the show is about. Mm-hmm. Learning about the journey of entrepreneurs, of creatives, of anyone that has really taken on their life and made it their own. So before we get to there, I always forget this part. I am Sten Garcia, in case you didn't already know. And
I'm Amanda Hulka, and co-host.
We have put together this show as an extension of Creatives for Connection. That is an organization that supports creatives and encourages them to pursue their passion through education, through inspiration, and just connecting them to people that'll help them and encourage them along the way. Yeah. And of course, I have to shout out HGAB Studios for being our sponsor and for supporting us and the organization and this podcast. And it continues to support creatives in Miami and anywhere in the world that sees what we're doing here and what they're doing and wants to come to Miami and be a part of it.
Yeah, they're family. We love them.
Yes. So, Susie, just as far back as you want to take us, tell us about your journey and everything that you've done. And I do want to preface, I met you because you are the owner and operator of Showstopper, and it is an incredible dance studio.
Thank you.
A studio that is on point, and I've met incredible instructors there, incredible people that go there. The facilities are on point, and I was just super inspired by you and what you're doing. And that's what ultimately encouraged me to bring you in here and have people hear about this journey.
Thank you. That means a lot, because that's the reason why I opened Showstopper Miami in the first place. You know, taking it back, I danced since I was a little girl. You know, the typical story. At 5 years old, my mom put me in dance, and she put me into flamenco. And I fell in love. I love flamenco and what it is and what it was. And that's ultimately the only thing I did. Later on, then I started exploring more things. And I quit dance because I wanted to be cool in high school and be with my friends only. And I got a little lost there for a little bit, and it came back to me. Mm-hmm. And it fell in my plate as well again. And my thing I always loved was just creating, listening to music and creating. Went to New World School of the Arts, where I studied and changed my life completely. I did Miami Heat Dancers. And from there, I worked a lot on tour with Shakira. I did Will Smith, Kanye West, and I was a pro dancer, dancing in the game and in the industry. Traveled a lot. And did So You Think You Can Dance, season 4. Mm-hmm. And then after that bombed, and I came back to Miami, I felt that it was the right moment to open up the studio. I was a teacher prior to that, a high school teacher. So I was just doing a lot. And I continue to be a person that loves to do more than possibly I can take in. And I just like to, I hate the word balance. I love to just try and like juggle and go, where am I going to fall with what's going to like be purposeful for me and for the people that I teach. And then later on at 38, having the studio already for 12 years, I did World of Dance, and I put a little crew together. And we got accepted to the show, which was phenomenal. And it really was a turning point, because how I acted and how I was and So You Think that brought me down completely. Mm. When I was eliminated, when I got over there, I was just not fazed. Yeah. And it was okay when we got eliminated. I felt empowered when we left. We were an all-women crew, portraying strength and power. And by our movements, not just by the little clothes that we wear. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing for me. Mm. And yeah, I felt super empowered and making a difference and people actually seeing us. And of course, having Showstopper Miami on there was incredible.
Huge.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a long journey and amazing. What I want to kind of jump back to also is the fact that you said that you kind of stepped away from dance in high school and it came back to you.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a journey for so many of us as creatives. It's like we get in our own way. until it just is screaming at us, like, when are you ready to re-engage?
And for me, I think it's because I was so young mm-hmm. that I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to really do. You know, mm-hmm. it was just, I was 14 years old and I was, oh, there's boys. Oh, I want to be a cheerleader and I could party and I could do this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I was very young and not a lot of people know that, mm-hmm. but I did quit and there was just an essence missing from me. And once it got back and I came back after 2 years, I said, oh, what was I doing? Uh-huh. You know? And that thought of quitting never came back in my mind. Wow. Ever. Even in the hardships of pandemic, which I almost lost the studio and all the other hardships that with the doors slamming in my face for so many different reasons mm-hmm. as a dancer and choreographer, I never once and have never thought again to quit mm-hmm. ever. So it's just, like I said, it's trying to figure out what works for me as a creator and what projects to engage that make me feel good mm-hmm. and I could give back to.
Love that.
You know? So that's what it's about for me.
Yeah. Intentionality is, it seems like you went on this journey and went through the hardships also so that you can relate to your students.
Yes.
And the people that, like, you've been on the journey yourself. You didn't just step into it and you, definitely. You know, you've been through some serious hardships.
Definitely. And it's that a lot of people don't get the support to be a creative. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't, you know. I was fortunate enough that I had my mom and my family. They're not artists, but I almost feel like my mom wanted to be and she never got the chance to mm-hmm. be when they came from Cuba and, mm-hmm. and they had the courage to do that because if it wasn't for them, I would have never been where I'm at. So it's almost feeling that of my mom. She loves the dancing and she loves mm-hmm. arts and she loves all of it. So she's always supported me and she's always been the one of, you gotta do more. You gotta do more. What are you doing next? I go, Ma. And I'm like, Mom, come on. Like,
oh my God, I love
so
that.
I think that's where I learned to be that way. Mm-hmm. But I've also taught a lot of students and a lot of dancers that their parents don't support them and don't support the unknown and don't support the what if because of either money mm-hmm. or because they didn't have the courage to do it mm-hmm. or because, you know, it's just too risky. It really is a risky business. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's telling them and going, I didn't know what I was going to do. Like, this shit wasn't like planned out to a T.
Right.
It wasn't. It didn't fall on my lap either. I worked my ass off to get, and I continue to work. I barely sleep, mm-hmm. you know, but it's because I love doing it. So right. if you love doing it, I feel like we have to waste less time in explaining why and just do it and then just showing them and go, well, this is what I did, mm-hmm. you know. And even parents, they have to understand that you're two different people.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes parents don't understand that you're two different individuals with mindsets, just like brother and sister. Mm-hmm. My brother continues to tell me, still to this day, having the studio at 14 years now, he tells me, you're in La La Land.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, thanks. I love being on this side. You should come over on this side sometimes. Over. And I always joke with him and he plays around with it because that's my big brother. Hey. But it's true, you know, they're never going to get it. Mm. They're never going to understand no matter what. Mm. And it's always going to be, even after high school that I danced in little talent shows and all that stuff, when I got back at 16 and I see people now on Instagram, they're like, oh, you still dance? You're still involved with dance?
Wow.
It's like, yeah, I still am because this is what I love to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's your passion.
So.
Amazing.
Well, so a few things. I want to go back because I talk to a lot of creatives, a lot of people that have pursued their passion, have gone through so many obstacles and changes in their lives. And I think it's interesting that you say that there was a period of time where you kind of fell out of it. You just weren't involved with it and doing it. But you came back and you were like, oh, I'm in this now and I'm doing this. I feel like if we look back at our past, any of us will see a period of time where we kind of weren't doing anything. We're a little bit lost. Definitely. We decided to eat shit and do nothing. Mm-hmm. That almost is kind of like the fuel that now allows us to look back and be like, well, you know what? I had my time where I was just like, whatever, eating shit. Now I'm focused. I have this thing that I want and I'm going to do it 100%. Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes when you look at people who have from childhood, have gone all in. You know, you see it like childhood actors.
Yeah, they get burned out.
They get burned out because they're like, you know, getting driven hard by their parents, by themselves. You need a period of just like eating shit, not doing anything.
Yes.
So I think it's dope that you had that and you found that and you realized that and you moved past that. Mm-hmm. So another thing is the parents thing. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge one. Mm-hmm. Because even myself, when I told my dad that I wanted to get into video production, he's like, how are you going to make any money doing that?
Yeah.
You know, and you're so excited about this thing that you found that's passion, and you really feel called to do it. And the people that are supposed to
and
be supporting
well.
You. Yes. They mean well, but then they fucking just strike you down.
Yeah.
And they tell you the worst part about it instead of like, you know, you could do it, just give it your all. And if you fail, we'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's a downside. And look at it. I mean, look at you now, you know, and it's sometimes we act better with pressure. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the pressure really navigates us to go to an extreme, because what if maybe your dad said, all right, son, yeah, I'm going to support you. Here's all the money. Here's all the equipment.
Yeah.
Maybe we're like,
whatever.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not as fun when you add pressure to a situation like the pandemic of the studio. When that pressure was on, I was like, what do I do? We gotta figure out. It's a survival mode.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That you gotta really put in and go, I'm gonna show you, I'm gonna show myself. Ultimately, we wanna show ourselves.
Yeah.
But the little selfish in us says, I'm gonna fucking prove it.
Yeah, I'm gonna
prove it that I could do this, because we all have it in us. That of, no, that's not, that shouldn't be. It is. It is everyone.
In
us. We, mm-hmm. especially now with social media, now you would like to go, boom, mm-hmm. I did it. Now what, you know? But I feel like the pressure takes you to another. So that's what I teach my dancers. And when I create with an artist, is just look at all of that and then don't push past it, but use it. Mm-hmm. Use it in your class. Use it in your creative and use it as your story. And mm-hmm. that's what ultimately it is, because look what you've done. And there's tons of people like you.
It's almost
tons
everyone's
like
story
you.
That, mm-hmm. that we speak to and guests that we've had on the podcast. I mean, this conversation is so... The journey is so similar, though so personalized, but it is the resilient on the other side that connects us all.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And what do they say? Pressure makes diamonds.
Yes, it
there
does.
There you go. It really does. It really does.
So I wanna hear about the decision to open a studio, because especially getting into any kind of brick and mortar, like, you know, you have to pay rent.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
so it's like
the pressure of that. So I just kind of want to hear about how that all started and you know, what encouraged you to keep going.
So funny enough, when I started dancing, for some reason, I'm younger, 10, probably 11, I had a Christmas list to Santa, right? And my mom showed me, like, the other day, she goes, look at this. And I said, wow. First one was I wanted a red BMW. Second one was I wanted a dance studio.
Wow.
And it was there. I didn't know quite what it meant, but I felt always as a leader to make a difference in something, in anything creative, because that's ultimately what I've always done. And I did So You Think You Can Dance, and I left my job, which I was a high school teacher, and I was in the Miami Heat, and that was my last year, and it was in 2008. And when I went to audition, I was the only Miami girl that got accepted, and I went to Milwaukee, and in the panel of top 20, I was literally the only Miami girl, the only Latin, you know, there. So for me, it was huge, you know. And when I left the show and when I got voted out of the show, I went to this huge hole, black hole, went all the way down, and it was very, very tough. And in that moment, I said, man, now it's, you know, there was news. I was getting interviewed in Miami, and I said, this is the time.
Oh, wow.
I have to do it now.
Wow.
So I tell my mom, and I said, Mom, I don't have any money, you know, nothing, you know. And I told him, like, I need a little bit. And I told my grandparents too. And they said, all right, my grandfather was always a supporter. Like, lo que quiera hacer la niña, always, such a big support. And they gave me the money. And I said, all right, found a place. At the moment, I went in with the partner that later expected way too much and was an asshole. But, I did it, and when I went in, I said, now what? I did this whole, and the good thing that I was a teacher, so I was already teaching dance, so all my kids from high school supported it,
Amazing.
It was beautiful. But yeah, I had my dance classes with 5 people in my class. I remember looking at my mom and saying, I hope somebody comes today. I hope somebody joins in tonight.
Oh my gosh.
We really did it blindsided. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I just wanted to dance. I wanted just to teach and create. And I saw the bigger picture going to LA. And I always said I wanted to be one of those studios where I had artists come in and feel good. And I wanted to have all the pictures on the wall.
Yeah.
Like always, that was always a vision for me. And to help dancers have a place to go home, you know? Mm-hmm. And and just to feel good and to create anything. I feel like our space really gives the momentum for anybody to think of anything, and then we could go, we could produce it. Let's go. Mm-hmm. You know, we're your support. We are your support. We're your parents in the creative, you know, and that's ultimately what I wanted. And having dancers not go from car, driving in their car from studio to studio, where they could go and get everything they want there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's how we did it. We opened just one space, which is Studio A. Then 3 years later, we opened up the next bay, that one I got in a fight with my mom. She's like, "Tuta loca, you're crazy. You can't do this." That was a hard moment because she was like, "This is good. This is safe. This is,
yeah, yeah.
Let's just stay here." And I was like, "Fuck that. I want to go more."
Yeah.
And then 4 years later after that is when I opened Bay 3 and Bay 4.
Oh, my God.
And that one even worse fight there because it was two bays in one.
Oh, my God.
And she didn't see it. You know, she's a supporter, but she's very, like, she's very careful, and I love her, but she's there every day. You met her.
Yeah, yeah,
and it was very difficult, but I had to just, like, trust me.
Yeah.
Like, do you trust me? Like, a lot. You got to take my hand. You got to trust me. And if not, I'm going to do it without you anyways.
Wow.
So it was a big moment because my mom is, and, you know, sometimes she takes it personal, but it's not. It was just... And now when I look at her, I'm like, "Viste, yeah."
"Viste."
"Did you see?" She's like, okay. So it's just nice because I proved it. I proved that it could be done.
It's the best when that happens with parents.
It's incredible. So but you know, this does make me think, imagine all the people that did listen to the parents saying, "That's too much. You're safe where you are.
Right?
Don't, you know, growth is scary." And that got held back. Every time I hear success stories, I always think about, not from a negative perspective, but just for perspective. And you powered through it.
Oh.
And again, your sphere of influence is so wide and so intentional and so impactful that your story and your continued resilience is percolating to every student, everybody that walks into that studio and the community.
Yes.
And so
that's
powerful.
That's the vision always.
Oh my God, amazing. Wow.
Love that. And so when you start expanding or when this idea comes, are you seeing the numbers? Are you seeing the people come in and you realize that it is time to do it? Or are you just kind of taking an additional risk and being like, "You got to create this. If you build it, they will come," kind of idea, right?
The first one was we were outgrowing Studio A. We literally were doing shows and I had all the props outside. Sometimes when we had auditions for award shows, I would have to send everybody outside through the back door to wait for their number to be called because we had no space.
Oh, wow.
So for the first one, we definitely did outgrow. And I said, "All right, this is a good," and it was available. For the second and the third, I was just like, "I'm going to build it and they will come."
Yeah.
And it was very much a chance kind of opportunity because it was two. And I still remember the landlord, poor thing, this older man. I was like, "I want to see the last one." And he came in and he looks at it and he's like, "It's a big space in the theater in the back." And I said, "Yeah, I love it." And I was already, you know, envisioning the lights and everything that I could do, shows and having singers come in with their dancers, bringing in the props through the warehouse door. And the man told me, he goes, "Are you sure," in Spanish, "are you sure you have enough dance to fulfill, to get this space and the other one?" And I looked at him, I was like, "Fuck yeah." Like, you don't know. I didn't know. But it was that moment that I said, "Now I'm going to just do it now even more," because that pissed me off.
Yeah. Challenge accepted. Like, challenge thank you. Thank you.
And it really motivated me even more to do it.
You had that vision. So you have that space now and you have the warehouse door.
Yeah.
So every time you open it, you're like,
yes. And we have the space. We do shows. I've had Rosalia in my studio. I've had LL Cool J in my studio. I've had Carol G, Ali Brooke. We've done so much there. Chris Brown.
Oh my God.
Rented the studio, walked in the class.
No.
That people were dancing in. And surprised everyone. Imagine you see Chris Brown with two big bodyguards behind him. And he just walked in the class. So it was something cool. And it was really so amazing for the dancers to be not even knowing what was back there. And
Oh my God, that's insane. You know?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Pandemic. How far into...
Next question.
Yeah. Well, we're talking growth. We're talking, you know...
A light switch. Just a light switch.
I'm I'm joking. Yeah, it was tough.
You had opened the last two. How many years into it did the pandemic hit?
I opened the last two, 2018 and then 2020.
Oh.
Yeah, it was very tough.
Yeah.
Because now I had a landlord that was not very pleasant at the moment, and I get it because it was everyone was struggling.
Sure.
But it was to the point of you got to pay, and I was like, how am I going to pay? I went from, I mean, at least it was like 200 dancers mm-hmm. in and out coming through or more, you know, just taking classes and stuff, to I had two people supporting. Just they couldn't even do the dance online because I would do online classes with nobody, you know, and I was egging them on like, yeah, do you feel the sweat? And I'm like, just fucking nobody's there, you know, just in case if you see it after you feel that encouragement. But nobody had the drive to dance. And I was really trying to motivate. I would text all my dancers, how are you doing? Are you doing well? When I was shit, because I had my son with my husband and my son at the time was 5 years old, and we were going to Disney, quote unquote, in our house every day to make it amusing for him. Well, I would run to the bathroom and cry my eyes out and come back and like play and then check into my dancers. So it was very difficult. It was, I literally almost lost everything.
Yeah.
Everything. So, yeah, it was tough. And and as soon as they just said, all right, well, hair salons open, I said, fuck that. I'm going to, guys, we're here. Anybody want to come? Just, and I did a trial. I started Googling what was happening in China.
Oh, wow.
And I started looking at dance over there. And I saw that they were dancing already with masks. And I said, all right, guys, can I have five of you come in? Wear your masks. Let's separate. And let's see and train our bodies so I understand what it feels like to dance in a mask. So when and if when we do this, I want to be the first one to do it. And I want to be the first one to give them A, space to drink water, B, space to take a breath, not do such a hardcore class where they can't breathe.
Yeah. Right.
And give them that opportunity. So I test ran it for like 2-3 days before opening the doors.
Amazing.
And I had the knowledge to then tell them, all right, this is what we're going to do. You know?
Oh my gosh, so
but
smart.
Little by little, people started coming, but it wasn't right away.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people were still, were scared.
Yeah.
We're very scared. But it felt good to dance again, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Obviously. Well, dance is therapy.
Yeah.
Sten talks a lot about
Sten
this.
Sten is a dancer.
I mean, I was about to segue into that, that like, ironically, the thing that would be very, very helpful in an era of a pandemic and mental health issues is dance. And I'm a big advocate for this, because I didn't even realize how helpful it was for me until I started doing it, just kind of like on a whim. And it is incredibly helpful. I took your contemporary dance workshop, and from the, and actually going into that, so I'm going through some really tough family stuff right now. And going into that, I was having a really bad day. And when I got in the car and drove home, I was like, wow, I feel great. Oh, like, I feel fantastic. And just the weight of everything that I have going on was just lifted.
Yeah.
Just like moving the energy through the body and like all the stuff that we did was incredible. And I want to make sure that people understand, you don't have to want to be a professional dancer to take a dance class.
Thank you.
Go take a dance class just to do it, because it is a blast. Any style. I've gone into different styles and I love it. I mean, it's amazing. So that's something that I think that is important. And I never heard anybody talk about, where it's just like these dance classes are available for all levels and anybody.
Really. All levels, all ages. And I remember when you walked in that we had just briefly talked, and I saw you going into the shuffling. And when you came into my class, I said, oh, all right. And it's great because you being in the field that you're in, you would be expected to. Why are you even taking a class? You know what I'm saying? Why are you even there as a beginner? And sometimes that's looked down upon, and people think that they can't be a beginner in anything and learn something new, and it could inspire you in your line of work and what you do, because it's all tied in, and dance starts it. You know what I'm saying? So I always go back to, and my husband says it all the time, dance is where all these other things evolved. Look what you guys are doing for creatives. Dance is part of it, you know, and just being able to create in other different parts of it. And I love what you just said, because that's ultimately what it's about. And I wish that more, they're gonna kill me with this, but I wish that more professional dancers still had that. Because a lot of professional dancers now do it because of the industry and the work, and they get their credential and their resume already there. But sometimes they don't go to a class as often as they should because they're still scared, because they know one thing, or because they're being looked upon like, that's a pro dancer, let me see what you got. And it's almost like no room for error. And that sucks, you know? So I feel like if we just all go into everything as a beginner and just feel it out like you did, it was awesome. Because I was really, really happy to have you, because I know your brain is something else. So for me, it was, let me see what this person is going to interpret in movement with what he's already lived in and experienced and what he talks about, because I did my research. And it's something so cool, because that's what the therapy is, you know? This also is, I don't get to do this so much, you know what I'm saying? Like the talking, and I love it, but it's a therapy too, because you get to put what you're feeling through voice, and then through movement is something incredible. And then when you're guided like a meditation to do certain things with your movement, you know, you start discovering different things, but we're just always feel like we're being expected of something.
Yeah.
And we need to let go of that shit.
Yeah.
It's that programming, yelling, talking at us. Yeah. Which we're learning, I think, as a collective. We're all becoming aware that there is that programming and that voice, that we can be aware that it's there, but we don't need it to rule our lives.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We just care too much about what people think and say. And I feel that even if it's a little bit, like you said, and learning it, if you take away, like I learned that late. Like I'm turning 40 soon. And I learned that probably at now, like 38, 39, and after the pandemic. And I was like, you know what? I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't, with respect, you know? And I respect anybody's opinion and a conversation. And again,
I like that addition, like, with respect.
With respect.
Because I hear a lot of people say, I don't give a fuck. But then it's like, with respect. I like that.
Because
like
everyone is different. And we're, you know, it's okay to be different. And it's okay to disagree. I don't have to agree with everything that you're gonna say or do, and at the end, art is art, it's an opinion,
and we're all on different timelines, even if we want that person to arrive at a certain good thinking or knowing, it's maybe it's not their time, and like we have to come to it organically sometimes.
So for me, I think that I've realize that I learn about myself by putting myself in situations that I wouldn't normally be in, like a contemporary dance class with other dancers that are like legit dancers.
You were awesome, thank you. Really, really were. That was great.
So, like, that's why for me, it's more about the learning, not only about the subject matter, but about myself and the challenge and how I feel challenged. And I'll give you a perfect example. I started playing pickleball recently, and it's frustrating because I suck. And like, so there was this younger girl who was on my team because we played doubles the other day, and she's way better than, but I was so frustrated about myself that I suck. And she was just trying to give me tips, and I kind of snapped at her. And then I was like, whoa, but then I realized it. You know, then I was like self-aware. I was like, whoa, what the fuck just happened? I just like snapped at this girl who's just trying to help me. And then later I'm like, hey, I apologize, blah, blah. She's like, yeah, no, like, it's okay. I understand. Like, it sucks when you're beginning and you suck. And she totally understood it. But it's like, I just noticed myself and how I react sometimes when I'm frustrated and I feel challenged. But it's okay not to let that overtake you and me just be a dick all the time. You know, because of that. So
stay humble.
That's why it's like, and also like learning and understanding that somebody, if you are older and like you've seen some success in your career and other parts of your life, you can go to a class or something that is being taught by somebody who's younger than you but is a pro in their in that respective field, and they can teach you something. Just because you're older and like have more experience in other areas doesn't mean that a younger person can't teach you something.
And you know, that's always been, because my beforehand I was just, I don't know how I could go into a class of a 16 or 17 year old and you actually teach me something. So I was that person. And then I did it and I tried and I said, oh, okay, this is what it is. Not necessarily maybe they're sharing. They're sharing. And in that sharing, because that's ultimately what teaching is too, in that sharing, I could learn.
Yeah.
I could learn something. And that's a beautiful thing, because they're getting inspired by other people, mm-hmm. and it's just a sharing aspect of it, you know? So, yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
So I wanna shift a little bit, because I know getting more involved into the dance world, dance community, like, and just seeing how different dancers are looking to become either professional or through social media gain exposure, and how many different directions I feel like there are now, because they're seeing so many different people on social media mm-hmm. living completely different lives through dance in whatever way it manifests in their life. How, as anybody that's trying to get into dance now, what does a career path look like? What are the different career paths in your experience? And like, what, how can someone who wants to get into dance decide what path to take?
I feel that as you're going into the dance path, things start opening up. So there's so many different doors that could open up. I started as a dancer, and then it led to choreography, because I loved so much and I loved putting the pieces together that that's what became. And then after choreography, I started seeing even bigger picture. So visionary and creative choreographer. I was a creative director. Mm. I am a creative director, where you put all the pieces together, and it's because all of it is involved. Sometimes when you go into just as a choreographer, you're just quote unquote the steps. You're a stylist, you just do the clothes. Mm-hmm. You're the music, you just, you know what I'm saying? So as a creative director, you did the whole thing, and that fascinated me. Mm-hmm. So for dancers, I feel that you have to be aware and really do like a scan. And as you're going through the process, see what drives you more mm-hmm. and what brings you together. I've seen tons of dancers that go into styling, which is awesome, or judging a competition, and they do that because there's big money in that as well, you know? Teaching in a convention as a teacher, choreographer, and getting into it, oh my gosh, it's so much easier now, I feel. Mm. I feel like you're a click away.
Yeah.
You're a click away. You can literally direct message anybody. And somebody asked me the other day, what do I do if I want to work with the choreographer? I said, direct message them.
Yeah.
Fucking message them. Say hi, introduce yourself, have your shit together in your Instagram, uh-huh. and send them stuff. They're going to see it. Whether they call back or not, well, you check up in 6 more months.
Yeah.
Don't be on it every single day, because then you're going to be
right.
too you're much. Obviously, yeah. and you'll lose them. But why not? It's so easy. It's in a click.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It's amazing.
It's crazy. And people don't, they feel that, no, I can't do that. Well, then how else are you going to do it if you don't put yourself out there?
Right. Yeah.
You have to put yourself out there in order to be seen.
Take the risk.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always tell people that I've worked with on sets, especially PAs that are just starting, because of this podcast, because of Creatives for Connection, I just like, hey, so like, what are your goals? Like, what do you want to do with your life? Like a PA that's like taking out the trash. I'm like, where do getting you see yourself in 5 years? You
business
know?
Development assessment.
And then they're like, yeah, like I want to get into props department, but like, I don't know how. I'm like, what do you mean props department is right there?
Right.
Just like walk over and talk to somebody.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like people don't understand. Like you could just reach out and just like mm-hmm. offer a cup of coffee. And I always tell people like, people like talking about themselves and like their journey and the path that they've taken. Uh-huh. And if you're not being annoying about it, they're willing to share with you stuff, you know?
Yeah, especially when you're in a setting, like if you're in a dance studio or on set and the person's there, they're feeling in their element as it is. So like that is the moment of access, because they're feeling so passionate about what they're doing. Like observe what they're doing, comment on what they're doing, and then that's the gateway. I actually have a friend who is a PA, and now he's a... DP, because he worked his way up. He started asking questions,
and myself, that's the perfect actually. Moment. Yeah. You know, when you're on set, there's everybody's there, everyone is there. In a break,
yeah, mm-hmm.
have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it really does all start with the conversation and what they do, and then oh, what's your Instagram? And you collaborate. It's so easy. It's so easy. It really, really is. Mm-hmm. Then when it starts, but you gotta have your backup. You know, you gotta have what it is that they're. Might be looking for.
Yeah.
So I feel like when you're ready and when you have it, reach out to certain people.
Yeah.
Don't reach out and then you have nothing to show.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, because then that could backfire.
Yeah. So many pro tips in this conversation. Yeah. We love our pro tips. because each one of our creative journeys and entrepreneurial journeys has so many tips, because of we've been through some hard stuff and came out the other side. I'm curious about your team. I'm curious about as you grew, I'm sure you had to bring on a plethora of people now with multiple studios.
And even having to let go of people, which I know is tough.
Yes. Sorry, managing people, managing space. And as such a strong creative, how do you balance all of that, being a creative and being an entrepreneur?
And I want to add being a mother, because mother. Yeah. Amanda's a mother also, and she's juggling the stuff too. So
it's hard. But I find myself going to is always, what do you need? Are you good? Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Are we good? Sometimes I'm so in my head and so busy running from, because I teach a lot, and from thing to thing that, or projects that are happening, that I have to check in and I forget to. Yeah. And then people assume. Uh-huh. So I always love to say, don't assume. If you have a problem, come to me and it'll be worked out in a second, mm-hmm. with a time or with my teachers or with dancers. Mm-hmm. And we always get the, oh, I didn't want to bother, or I know you're too busy. I hate that phrase. No, Susie, I know that you're so busy. I'm like, how do you know? Like, you don't know. You're assuming because you don't know.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was going to be like, thanks for doing this. I know you're so busy. Don't say that.
No, but you can never assume. The worst thing is you get, you know, not the answer you're looking for. But I'm really about good energy in the studio. I know this sounds so cliche.
No, but it's.
But I'm really about walking in, and I do it all the time like a crazy person. I tell my team too, and I'm like, okay, Matt, if I walk in, if I smell trash, I'm not going to want to come in, because I'm a client too.
Yeah.
And little things turn me off completely. Yes. You don't know how many things I've gone to, and I'm like, I'm never going to come back. And it's just because of the first step that I went in. Mm-hmm. So coming in, and if it doesn't smell or the trash, I'm going to get turned up. Can't be. So finding those ways so it can be pleasant. Mm-hmm. You know, now we're offering massage therapy in our studio. So now the dancers, after class on Tuesdays and Thursdays, could get a little fix me up. And it's amazing.
It's incredible.
And if you want an hour, you can book it. So it's that, just that all around, what can I do? I could create. I want to learn how to teach. I want to learn how to choreograph. I want to learn how to dance, be a teacher. It's all there. Yeah. And you know, I've done it in all of that and have a great team by my side. Mm-hmm. And it's just ongoing in energy. Yeah. So when the energy is off, I know and I feel it. And then that's when I have to do the checklist and say, what's happening? Who do I have to? Because, sometimes I have to let go.
Yeah.
Even dancers could crowd and cloud the energy as well.
Yeah.
Which for me, I'm not about everybody in there. I want the good energy in there. So if you don't have the good energy, it's best you go.
Yeah.
And I've done it. Yeah. and
for you.
It's my piece is not, it's not negotiable.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody else's piece isn't either. So that's strong for me. And I hear it. I hear it all the time. Mm-hmm. I feel people tell me and they just stop new or coming back. They say, this place feels really good. And I'm like, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a great feedback to have.
Yeah. And I'll tell you my own experience. It's a little bit of a drive for me. If it didn't feel on point, I wouldn't have gone back.
Right.
Yeah.
Cause that's it's a drive, you know, but that's the thing. It's worth it. It's worth the drive.
Yep. And we get a lot of people. We get people from Boca, Coral Springs.
Wow.
And some people drive from the zoo, Miami, all the way. And they tell me, I'm like, mm-hmm. And then I get people, you know, oh, but it's just too far. I'm like, well, it's for you.
Yeah.
Right.
So is it worth it for you? Yeah. Then don't come.
Yeah.
Don't make the drive. But if you feel good, I'm going to fucking do the drive.
Yeah.
For sure. And then I'm going to make it even more memorable. Mm-hmm. Come and stay for 2-3 hours. Connect with other people and make it worth the
make
whole
it
week.
Work. Yeah.
You know, if that's your one drive. And that's it. Awesome. It's so easy. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It's so there for you. And dancers to do it, and there's phenomenal performers and beginners and dancers. And my ultimate favorite is coming out of class and just seeing everybody smile and sweating and feeling the frustration and people talking about it within each other. Because every room had a different experience.
Wow.
So when they meet in the lobby, they go, hey, what class did you take over? And then they'll talk about it, and it's so awesome. That's so nice.
That's all you. I hope you feel that.
It goes beyond me now.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, though.
I love that.
I started it, and now it really does go beyond me, because everybody in there, it makes a difference of what it is.
And you created this space.
Yes.
And the safe space for people to be in their truest most full self.
Yes.
From the instructors to the students, new Definitely. Students and old, like that's your ethos is like just coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of dancers say, I've gone to studios. I had this one girl that came to my class the other day and she said that she hasn't danced in 8 years
wow. mm-hmm.
because the studio that she went to, the director and the teacher made it hard for her to be herself.
Oh.
And obviously I didn't know this when she was
sure.
there. I felt something in her, like she was just so excited to be there.
Mm.
And she was doing great. And I put her to dance with other people. I recorded her after class. I was like, great job, because she really did. And then she just started crying.
Mm.
And she was like, you don't know what you just did for me. And I'm like, wow. What? And it was just, I was just being in my moment. I didn't know exactly the story, but I felt, I knew that something that she needed
mm-hmm.
was, I didn't know what it was, but I gave her something that she needed at that very moment. And it just so happens the director now, it was completely different. I was telling her, great job.
Yeah.
Wow, that was amazing. And where she had the downfall was in another studio, the director telling her she wasn't enough.
Wow. Wow.
So look at that. And it's just perspective. And then someone giving you a little bit of validation feels good,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it goes a long way. And it gives you that push that you need to now discover yourself. And that's why our motto is awake the artist in you, because we give that to our artists
mm-hmm.
and all the people that come in our room and when they drift off and they go somewhere else and they do their thing, they gotta remember where they started, because you didn't have that confidence when you came out of, you know, you had that confidence now when you came out, not when you came in.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, people just have to remember that.
Yeah.
Because it is a powerful magic that we create there in wow. people Amazing. And in dancers.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially with the instructor. So I got to shout out Michelle, because I took her contemporary yes. like hip hop, which was awesome. And then I go often to Ashley Gonzalez, who's amazing.
Ashley
and
was one of my company members.
She's
when I first started.
Amazing. Oh, she's such gosh. A blast to be with. And like she walks that line, right, where she does push you and is hard on you, but also is like, it's fine, like
yep.
you know, we're not performing on a stage right now. This is about you and connecting with yourself right now, and just give it all you can.
And
you
funny got. With Ashley, she never has taught ever, and I just saw her doing the shuffly thing on Instagram. I hadn't talked to her probably in like 2 years, because she's in and out doing other things. And I said, Ash, how cool would it be if you teach that? I don't know what that is, but how cool. And she goes, what, teach shuffling? I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
Now you see everybody's
oh,
teaching shuffling now
gosh.
And she's such a phenomenal teacher.
She's a badass.
She's so sweet, she's so encouraging. I always hear her, you could do, and she's so motivating. And she tells me, and I have text, and she's like, thank you, I never knew I had that in me. Mm. And I said, look at that, I just saw something in her. And she was such in a different place when she was then, because I've known her, she was like 14.
Wow.
Oh my
and
gosh.
She was dancing and we competed and she was in my company, and she was ready, and she loves teaching now, and everyone loves her class. So
Is
it's so cool.
That how you got connected to was through shuffling classes, and you went into Ashley's class?
That's why. Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah, yeah. Look at that. Yeah. That's connection right there.
That's why. Yeah. And then I was like, and then that's the thing, right? You get pulled into a studio because of somebody or because of an instructor, and you're like, whoa, wait a second, this is awesome. And then that's why I've taken, I took the contemporary workshop, and then I've taken Michelle's, and I definitely want to take more.
Yes.
Because I just love it. I love it.
There's great stuff there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's next? Like, where's Showstopper going?
What's next? So much. I have like 4 notebooks full of what's next. I don't know what order. But for me, it's just doing better every day. Like I really try and piece it. Now my new way, being a mom, you know, it gets hard. And mm-hmm. Jude always tells me, he's like, Mom, are you going to the studio today? I'm like, yes, baby, I'm going to the studio today. He's like, oh, okay. And he's understanding, because he's a skateboarder.
Uh-huh.
He's skateboarding. And he's like, Mom, you know, skateboarding does to me what dance does for you. And I'm like,
whoa.
You're 7. What are you talking about?
Love that.
And he's so passionate. Love so that. He understands now, because he wants to go to the skate park every day. So he's uh-huh. like, I get it that you go to the studio every day. I'm like, good, Bob.
Yes,
that's what you got to understand.
Yeah.
So for me now, it's just, I really put every hour as importance
mm-hmm.
for either myself, for importance for family, for creating, which sometimes I don't get enough of, which is bizarre mm-hmm. to even say, but right. anything of just going in the studio and just shutting everything out and creating and really putting every hour and doing that often. So the more I accumulate of hours doing that, it's going to make me stronger so that I can have ease for the next and the next project.
That's right.
And the more we do that, I feel like anything could happen, you mm-hmm. know? Showstopper, I would love for it to expand even more, honestly, and bring in more creators and teachers and more shows. That's ultimately where I want Showstopper to go even more. Not just mm-hmm. come and take a class, but what if you're not a dancer and you love art and mm-hmm. you love performance? I want Showstopper to be a place where monthly you can come in and go, I could watch a show of different things. Wow. Because now, you know, anybody could come into the space. Mm-hmm. If you love art and you love whatever, singing and spoken word, you know, would love to talk to have that in the studio. It just becomes, we could do just anything.
Mm-hmm. It's powerful.
Anything and, mm-hmm. and have anybody come in and enjoy it as well and inspire someone mm-hmm. to do something more with their creative aspect of it.
Wow.
Just want to recap some of these pro tips because I think that it is important what you said about don't assume and come and ask me. Yeah. Like, don't assume that I'm too busy to hear you out. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something very important. Once you're growing a team, you're expanding, you're working on projects in a team setting, because communication yeah. is, I mean, at the top of the list. Yeah. Whenever you're working in a project with anybody on anything in life, the whole gamut of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also do a scan of yourself. Like, understand where it is that you want to go. And maybe it's not exactly where you see yourself in 10 years, but that might be the stepping stone mm-hmm. to lead that leads you towards the answer of yeah. where you're going to end up. Because sure. it's like you said it, like when you started dancing, you didn't exactly know that you were going to open a studio.
I just wanted one. I was like, oh, that'd be cool. You yeah. know, but you don't know the vision of it yet. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And exactly. I just didn't know where it would take me.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
And also just like never stop creating to some degree. And like you said right now, like, you know, you want to create more. And it's ironic because you're creating every single day and you've created this business. And I went through something similar when I was getting burned out from video production, from creating, where that's where I went back to poetry. And ultimately, that's the thing that we always have these creative parts of us available.
Yep.
We just got to bring them out.
We got to bring them out. Exactly.
When we're going through a tough period. And I think that that's super important. And I see it ultimately, like, and then going back to the parents thing, like, ultimately what drives me the most is that seeing how I know how creative my parents are, but never really fully exercise their creativity.
Hmm.
And I think that anybody and everyone should keep alive the creativity of that they are born with in some way. And it Definitely. Doesn't have to be a career or anything. It could just be a hobby or just going to a dance class.
I agree. A hobby and it's that it's a therapy. Mm-hmm. It really, really is. And I love that you just said that, because when you were getting burnt out and TV production, all of that, you went to something else. And I feel that dancers now say, oh, they just have to dance, dance, dance. Where are you getting? I had someone do dance inspiration. Yeah, but if you don't take class every day, how are you going to feel inspired to teach something else? And I said, what? Like, a walk in the park is going to inspire the shit out of
yeah.
me
yeah.
more than any dance class when I'm not even feeling it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Colors inspire me. Music inspires me. The sky inspires me. All of this conversation yeah. inspires me. So I feel that we have to be less dancers, especially just in the zone of just dance, 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 and then open the gates to other things, because other things will
yeah.
really inspire you
yeah.
to do better in your creative realm.
Yeah.
You know, watching a show, painting, all of this stuff, poetry, listening to people, having a good conversation.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a good conversation.
Love that.
Man, when you feel like, yeah, oh, you just feel so great. But yeah. it's about who you hang out with and who you're giving your time. Your time is energy. And if you're just around yes people or just talking crap and about other, you know, it
yeah.
just, it's not going to go anywhere. You're right. not going to feel inspiration.
Look
Therefore,
for
you
depth.
Think that you have to just dance all the time in order to get it. And
yeah.
then when it's not going anywhere, there we go with people quitting. Like, fuck this, you know?
Yeah.
And it's because they're lost and they need that little, mm-hmm. that little pick me up of somebody telling them, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, dancing is not the only thing either.
Mm-hmm. I always think that, like, art, is the expression of like the life experience that we're in. So it is those deep conversations that calls on the art in us. It's the colors that we see, that it's a holistic experience of the life we're living in the form of art. Is could be dance, it could be painting, but to tap into all of them strengthens the one art that we choose.
And I have a tattoo that Twyla Tharp, her quote is, art, it's the only way to run away without leaving home. So everything in art, you're running away from TV productions, but you never left home because poetry was your home. And the other aspect of creating is your home as well. So I feel that we just gotta run away, but just don't ever leave home. Right. But you have to run away.
Wow.
You know?
That's powerful.
Love that. And then now the beautiful music comes in. Dun, 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 dun. We fade out.
But we fade out into like a video of you dancing. And then we close with a video of Sten shuffling.
No.
That's awesome. Incredible. Good pro tips.
For real. Yeah. And my favorite is time is energy. Time is energy. Mm-hmm. And going back to kind of like that period of time where you weren't really doing much that fueled you, I often think about a period of my time in my life where I was just fucking eating shit, blazing all day long, just like not hanging out on a couch. And then now it's like I'm doing all, and people are like, how come you do all these things? And I'm like, because I didn't do anything. I wasn't tapping into my full potential for so many years. And I can do these things. I felt like for a long time, I was bringing myself down to the level of the people around me when I kind of like had this energy to do all of these things that I was doing. And ultimately that's very important for you to take a look at, do the scan and look at the people you're hanging out with, look at yourself and think about what you can do. And you might find out maybe you can't do all of these things. And you like to do just one thing and maybe have like one hobby, the gym or whatever. And if that's the case, that's fine. But at least you figured it out. And because the opposite might be true. You might be somebody who can only do one thing, but you're hanging out with people that are doing like 20 things. Yep. And then you're just like stressing yourself out for no reason.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Do the scan. Time is energy.
Do the scan, baby. So any closing remarks?
How do we follow you? What are all your platforms?
Yeah, all of the things. Tell us all the things.
Showstopper Miami, Susie Garcia on Instagram. And, you know, our website has all of our classes. Mm-hmm. And in my Instagram, I love to do a couple different things and just showing people that they could really hold into their creativity. And then in Showstopper Miami, you can see everything we offer and all of our classes and
how much
fun we fucking have, honestly. Amazing. I have to kick people out, like flash the lights and be like, all right, guys, let's get the work out. We gotta go. I got a kid at home. Let's go. We gotta go. But yeah, it's a great thing to kick people out.
Yeah, that's a good problem. Leave.
And then when they leave, they're in the parking lot still talking. So it's a great networking and connecting place. It really, it's magical.
Incredible.
It really is. So check us out.
Thank you. It's all you.
You gotta come to a heels class one day.
I know. I'm excited. I danced growing up.
Ooh, I know. There you go.
And then the high school, well, actually middle school.
You gotta come.
I did the thing and didn't get back in, but I would love it. And my kid loves to dance.
Yeah.
Loves, that's like his new thing, skateboarding, and so they'll be friends. Oh,
that's awesome. That's
awesome. So, well, again, yes, major shout out to Showstopper. The instructors that I've been blessed to take a class with, not only the amazing Susie Garcia, but also Michelle, Hip Hop Contemporary, and of course, Ashley Gonzalez, shuffling, just kicking my ass with those combos, those fast-ass moving feet of hers. I'm like, what did I just see right now? And of course, somebody that's not at your studio, but I do have to shout out because I have been taking her class a lot lately, Ashley Nunez, who's a contemporary dance teacher. And it's just really been such an important part of my life now, going through everything that I've been going through and the peaks and the valleys, like I like to say. And so just to close, thank you so much. For taking the time. I know you're so busy.
Don't assume.
I'm kidding. Don't assume. I encourage you always to take a look at yourself, to think about what it is for you to exist in this world, not because of what your parents told you you should be doing, what your friends are doing, but what really calls you, what makes you feel alive. And it could be anything. Doesn't have to be something sensational and cool like dancing. Could be, you know, maybe you like reading books and you want to start a book club. You want to get together with other people that like to read books, and that's cool too. And you should just do the scan and figure out what it is that calls you. Mm-hmm. But even outside of that, tap into creative hobbies. Tap into creative hobbies. You don't have to change your career. You don't have to quit your job and pursue your passion, like we like to say. Right. Pursue your passion if it's a hobby, because there's definitely a lot of hours of the day that most people are spending either watching too much TV, scrolling on Instagram way too much, and that full hour can be dedicated to you, to riding, dance, riding a bike, taking a walk in the park, and you will start to feel alive in ways that you didn't before and haven't for a long time, because for a lot of us, when we felt the most alive, we were kids.
That's right.
Because nothing fucking mattered.
Yeah. It's true.
So that's what I want to close with. And of course, we're doing the subscribe, the like, the thing.
So we, you have YouTube, so you could probably teach us. Subscribe, like, follow,
and comment.
There you go. Comment.
Oh my gosh.
Comment.
And share your love. Just in general, share your love. We receive it. Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Peace.